When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's Larry Shelby, previously on the Paul Feinbaum Show.
Back in the second half, the show is live, and we're in Nashville. I know some of you probably have figured that out by now. It's the third day of SEC Media Days, but it's certainly been one of the most interesting ones. Nick Saban here earlier. You just heard from Coach Stoops, Pittman, Napier. One more day tomorrow, including Josh Heupel, and we will talk to him tomorrow afternoon. Blake Topmeyer from USA Today joining us, as well as Pete Thamel from ESPN. Let me start with the big show today, and it was Nick Saban, because there's so many questions, so many issues. I don't know how much I heard him address, but your impressions on what he said.
You know, what struck me most, Paul, was maybe not necessarily something Nick said, but just being reminded this week of the assembly of coaching talent in the SEC. I don't know if it's ever been greater. I mean, Monday we heard from Brian Kelly and Jimbo Fisher, and I know the shine has come off Jimbo Fisher a little bit, but he still packs his best punch when it comes to playing Nick Saban. Tuesday we heard from Kirby Smart and Hugh Freeze. Tomorrow we will hear from Josh Heupel. That's five coaches who have at least one victory against Nick Saban. Alabama 0-3 in its last three games against Tennessee, LSU, and Georgia. And as we heard Nick Saban say today, he still feels like he's 39 years old. Well, that may be, but I don't know that there's any denying. He seems to have lost a little bit, maybe just a little bit of a zip off his fastball. And these other coaches in the SEC, you know, are slinging heat.
Yeah, and Pete, Saban looked like he was trying to avoid certain lanes today. He did not overdo the message. What was your takeaway?
So he came in our ESPN.com room, Paul, and I said two big takeaways from Nick Saban. One was he reflected a little bit back on last year. Now, he reminded everybody that he lost two games on the final play of the game. Right. But he did say that he didn't feel like he maximized that group. And I don't know if I'd actually heard him say that out loud at any point. And I thought that was just interesting, pushing forward that. He hinted that that team had two searing stars, which a lot of the expectations came from with Will Anderson and Bryce Young. And perhaps that threw off some of the competitive balance. He didn't say that, but that was the inference. The other thing, and my big takeaway when you know, if I bump into you 3 months from now when we're on the same site, that I will remember is that without directly saying it, Nick Saban basically said, we're going to go back to playing Alabama offensive football like you remembered in 2012. He referenced Greg McElroy as the Tide quarterback, and he took a very subtle, pleasant jab at Greg and said he was a good college quarterback, which is accurate, but Alabama beat teams with a caretaker, and they mashed people up front, and they had a dominant run game. He referenced the loss to Georgia in the title game. They were up 18-13 in the fourth quarter, about 10 minutes to go, and he referenced Georgia's final offensive drive where they ran the ball basically 6 of 8 plays, Paul, and dominated up front. And it was very clear that this slinging around the ball around the lot is nice, but let's go back to bloodying noses. J.C. Latham used that term for us today. And let's go back to the Alabama football that we built this dynasty on.
And, Blake, I know I asked you guys the question, but I couldn't help but think I was being a writer and an analyst and a columnist for a second, but only Nick Saban can come to Media Days and essentially blame the last two seasons on the two best players last year, offensively and defensively, in the NFL draft. I mean, it's their fault. They were so good. I had nothing to do with it as the head coach.
Well, yes, and I think he would have enjoyed several more players, maybe like like them, right? But, you know, I think, as Pete was saying, going back to old-school Alabama football maybe a little bit, but is that going to accelerate Alabama to the head of the pack in this day and age, especially when you don't know who your quarterback is? And we heard that from Nick Saban today, and I understand he's trying to prolong that competition and not stir up any controversy there, but he said he's got three guys for the job, and he doesn't know who the quarterback is. Well, I know who LSU's quarterback is. It's Jaden Daniels, and they have a good one behind him, too. and Garrett Nussmeier. And I think, you know, so there are real questions facing Alabama, starting with the game's most important position and determining who their quarterback is.
Yeah, but they're going back to Alabama football.
Well, sure. It doesn't matter. You're going to hand the ball off 60 times, right?
I'm beginning to Pete, as you were talking, I'm coming away more. I think Saban was smarter than I've ever heard him today, because he's nuanced it. And I think his fans are buying into it, because they want to go back to Alabama football, because they were winning primarily on defense back then.
Well, and remember, Paul, 2020, one of the greatest college football teams I've seen in my time covering the sport. They had 3 first-round picks at wide receiver. Right now they have 0 first-round picks at wide receiver who at least project there. Now, they are talented. They have recruited well. But they're going to have to, until some of those receivers step up and become reliable names, reliable household options. And they have the quarterback, as Blake said, to throw it to them. They are going to have to find their identity through center guard tackle. And then they have a good stable of tailbacks. I don't think there's a Derrick Henry there, but I think they have very good tailbacks. And I think that's how they go. And it will be interesting week 2 against Texas, Paul. Texas now, and I know there's some cynicism about Texas, but I will say up front on the offensive line especially, and some on the defensive line, Texas is building towards becoming an SEC team. Texas has a left tackle named Kelvin Banks, who shut out Will Anderson last year. He will be the program's first round pick at that position, not left tackle, but at the offensive line since 2002. So as this is a bigger, stronger, more prepared Texas team than the one that took Alabama to the brink in Austin. So a huge test comes right away, and we know what Quinn Ewers can do generally. He's had about a full season. He missed a few games with injury of starts. We don't know if anyone can sling it around the lot for Alabama. So there are as many unknowns around Alabama as there's been since this Saban run began.
You guys are very deep into the sport, into the reporting of it, into the all the things that really do matter. I live on the other side of the fence where you just throw something against the wall, and I get asked these questions all the time. You know, is it over for Nick Saban? Is it this? Is it that? And Blake, there's no answer, because the one thing you don't have to remind people of what he's done, but that doesn't really, you're not really concentrating on it. You're talking about the here and now, and if he doesn't win, I don't know what, I'm not even sure what I'm asking you in terms of if he doesn't win what, but if they don't have a big season, where are we with Nick Saban?
Yeah, and I mean, what
season is a big season, is a championship.
Right. Yeah, I was going to say, what's defined as a big season for Alabama? That means at the very least getting the college football playoff and probably winning a national championship by their standards. I look at this Alabama group and sort of wonder, is this a group that's a year away? And I know that's not a conversation we tend to have with Alabama, but you think about it, they're coming off of signing one of, if not the best recruiting class Nick Saban has ever had. We were having that conversation about Texas A&M a year ago, didn't know who Texas A&M's quarterback was going to be this time a year ago. And as it turned out, you know, I think Texas A&M, we could say, was a year away. A year away from what? I don't know, but I think Texas A&M is going to be much more of a significant factor this year. And so, you know, if Alabama goes, 10-2, 9-3 this year, we'll hear conversation about, well, this is the end for Nick Saban. I don't know that I would be convinced of that. But again, I do think the path is tougher for him now and Alabama. And I don't know that that revolves around NIL. I don't know that it revolves around the transfer portal, although transfers have eaten away a little bit at the depth they used to enjoy. Again, I come back to the guys that are on the sideline opposite him. I mean, do we believe that Tennessee fans would have been puffing on cigars last fall if Butch Jones, if Jeremy Pruitt, if Derek Dooley were on the opposing sidelines?
They would have been swallowing cigars.
Yes. You know, I know Les Miles beat Nick Saban 3 times in 10 tries, but would you have wanted Les Miles calling that 2-point conversion play at the end of the game? No, I'd take Brian Kelly, who called it 2 days in advance. He drew up that play on Thursday. So point being, again, I think the challenge for Alabama right now, part of it is you got Kirby Smart, who's got the blueprint in place at Georgia. You have Brian Kelly at LSU. You have Josh Heupel at Tennessee. It is, I think, as good of a collection of coaches in this conference that Nick Saban's had to go up against since he's been there.
And Pete, is it what Blake just alluded to? You can't just stockpile anymore. I mean, Alabama lost 42% of the last 4 recruiting classes. That's a lot of talent, and it's a different world. And maybe Saban is still the same guy, but the playing field has changed.
Paul, I think it's pretty simple. I think when Kirby Smart left and went to Georgia and really took that administration there athletically and at the university and shook it by the collar and said, we are going to maximize Georgia. Georgia had been an underachieving brand for three or four decades. And what Kirby Smart did was he took the recruiting operation that he helped Nick Saban build and he put it in place. And he took the model of the Bama way. And quite frankly, he's made it better. It's very simple. They've won two championships. They're on. I mean, if you look at Georgia's schedule, there's no reason why they shouldn't be headlong with momentum into winning a third national title, which is historic in the last essentially century in college football. So I really feel like Saban built the model and built it to generational greatness, and Kirby has taken that and taken the tenets of it and is pushing it forward. Now, Georgia has some, you know, there's transition. The genius of Saban was he did it with all sorts of different coordinators on both sides of the ball. He did it. He endured turnover. Now Kirby is sort of facing some of those same tests. But I really feel like Georgia is obviously established itself as distinctly ahead, and I don't know if that small gap that they've built ahead of Alabama, there's any clear signs that it's closing right now.
Yeah, let me end there, boy, because I mean, I realize this didn't happen overnight, but it seems like it has, because a year ago, I mean, I was telling anybody, my sources tell me this is the best Alabama team of all time, and it was justifiable when you look at the big ticket items. But in the event that Kirby Smart does pull this off, and I realize I'm rushing through the entire season. I mean, he's almost halfway to where Nick Saban is in a lightning fast period of time.
And in this world that you're laying out here, that would mean that he would have achieved something that Nick Saban didn't, which would be a three-peat. You know, and I think that changes the conversation a little bit. You would still have Nick with the total title count, but if Georgia can pull off this three-peat, you know, then we start to have the conversation about Kirby and Georgia not just passing Alabama in this moment, but if they pull the three-peat off, you have to start thinking about what that means, you know, for Kirby in terms of all-time legacy, because of how rare that is to achieve in college football. I mean, you know, Kirby was getting asked this week about having the chance to be the first team since 1930s Minnesota of three-peating.
Paul
in,
was
in
a
national.
Writer,
yes, yeah. Paul's show was going strong.
I did cover that team, but I did not get sent to the bowl game. I don't know. I don't know why I invite you guys here, just to insult me. Blake Topmeyer and Pete Thelma, one of the smartest conversations and best conversations we've had all week. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Paul.
Thanks, Paul.
The Paul Feinbaum Show, weekdays at 3 Eastern on the ESPN app and on the SEC Network.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Country Music Hall of Fame right down the street. Music City. Maybe the country music capital of the world, but this week it's the college football capital of the world, and we are working our way through the third hour, or the second hour, or the third. I can't remember. What time is it? It's the third hour. Does anyone really know what time it is? Does anyone really care? Taquio Spikes.
He had it all day, huh?
Is here. The great Hall of Famer from Auburn and the NFL, and this week working here at the SEC Network. We haven't really talked about Auburn much, so we'll talk to one of the all-time greats for Auburn University. Give us a real assessment of this upcoming season.
I think Hugh Freeze did a good job yesterday of the messaging. And one of the things that really stood out to me was just him simply talking about, look, we want to be able to compete with the upper echelon, obviously Georgia, Alabama, now LSU coming into the fold. But the roster is not there yet, and I can appreciate him really going back and looking in the portal and bringing Peyton Thorne down to be able to increase that competition inside of that quarterback room to where guys don't feel comfortable, not necessarily saying they have a reason to feel comfortable, knowing what has happened in the past. But I really like that about Hugh Freeze, and his messaging more than anything for me is what I really appreciate, because the guys are receptive to it. He's got a pretty good staff together. So that's the thing that I really like about what he's doing so far.
I want to switch over to the other side of the state for a second, because I'm hearing a couple of things today that it's always easy to be a revisionist. And I'm interpreting. Nobody said this, but the interpretation of what I heard today from Nick Saban and the people around him is we know what we had last year, but sometimes you can lean too much on the star. They had two of the biggest stars we've seen in college football in a long time in Will Anderson and Bryce. And I'm gobsmacked at some of the what I think would be interpreted as spin. But you understand that because you were that guy. And the interpretation, Tequila, is we knew they could bail us out. And maybe it trickled down and affected the rest of the team. I mean, it's always great to hear this in July. I didn't hear it one time during the season. Tell us what you think about this scenario I've thrown up there as one of the reasons why Alabama failed last year to finish the season where they started at number one.
When you look at, well, first of all, they lost two games on the last snap of the game.
Sure.
And is it truly a failure? And taking into consideration.
They also won two on the final play. They lost two and won two on the final play as well.
Yeah, so when you take into consideration of what everybody is accustomed to with how they've been able to go about their business, yeah, I see that. But when you look
I don't want to debate whether it was a failure or not. It was.
Right.
By Nick Saban. I'm trying to talk about the star aspect of it. That can someone as great as these two guys that I mentioned, they were top picking offensively and defensively in the NFL draft, can that really affect the rest of the team in an adverse way?
Typically, if you have a team like that with stars, that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
So
it's not like this first time Alabama's ever had a star.
Yeah, like that's what you're supposed to do. You're going to lean on your stars because that's who they are. You know, typically, you look at the wide receiver room last year, they didn't have any great production like they had in several years, previous years, coming out.
The talent just wasn't there. 2 years earlier, they had three number one picks.
Yeah, so, you know.
You think it had more to do with that?
Yeah, I think it's just the lack of not having that star talent in the wide receiver room. And that's the reason why Bryce – listen, I love Bryce to death, and he pulled some stuff out of his behind last year. In order for those guys.
There's only
guys
so
to,
much you can do.
Yeah. And so at the end of the day, it's only so much that you really can do when you don't have those pieces around it.
But one thing that Saban said when he got there on the first day, he said, we are going to will you to submit. And you understand that better than I could ever dream of.
Because
I promise you, the guys on the other side of the ball in college and in the pros, did not want to see you coming near them because they knew they were going to be, you know, crumbled up into a pretzel. There was an intimidation factor. Is that now moved over to Athens?
I think it has moved over to Athens. And, I mean, back-to-back national champs, you look at Georgia in Athens, and, I mean, top three recruiting classes in the past 7 years. Yeah. And consistently getting five-star guys. Most impressive thing that I've seen from Kirby is, I read an article last year, Paul. It talked about the first order of priority for him when he was hired. The budget needs to go up in the recruiting. And he's been not only been getting those recruits, but he's been developing young high school players at every level, quarterback, looking at wide receiver, defensive backs, all of that. So when I look at what Kirby has been able to do, of course, the momentum has changed. And the juggernaut now in the SEC is Athens, the Georgia Dogs. And, you know, and that's the epitome of what it looks like now. And I don't look at it just that way, not just me. It's high school kids. I'm around high school kids all the time.
And that's what I wanted to ask you because, I mean, everybody's doing it. I mean, Alabama and Georgia are both collecting an unbelievable amount of talent every year. But, you know, it's keeping that talent now too.
Yeah. And you know what's surprising to me is, you know, Jacob Eason, Justin Fields, those guys ended up leaving just because they wanted to play. Rightfully so. I get it. But outside of that, Kirby is not really losing a lot of guys.
He's losing guys that are third team.
Yeah, third team guys. And maybe they
backups,
three, four-star guys. But my point is this. He's keeping the great players not only in state, but he's keeping the great players who are coming in knowing that they're going to be a backup initially, and he's raising them through the farm system to where when they've turned juniors and seniors, it's their turn to shine, and they're okay with it.
I am so glad to see you. We don't see you enough, but they just always tell us your schedule just doesn't match ours.
Well, we can change that this year when
the
season gets to going, because we don't have plenty to talk about.
Because I've always admired you and always been in fear of you as well, sitting next to you.
I enjoy coming on the show.
Thank you, Takeo. It's so great to see you again. One of these days, I'll tell the real story of Takeo's recruitment. We won't be back.
Settle down. Okay, let's go to a commercial break right now.
We'll be right back.
The Paul Feinbaum Show, weekdays at 3 Eastern on the ESPN app and on the SEC Network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Back in, really excited to talk to Pat Forty, one of the great columnists in the country, and in addition to that, one of the best sports investigative reporters of his generation, which brings me to my question, Pat. You've covered so many NCAA investigations, and I don't want to rehash what happened, but just the pure sloppiness of Jeremy Pruitt. I mean, have you seen anything quite like it?
No, it was pretty breathtaking, I have to say. First of all, if you're a head coach,
you get somebody else to be the literal bag man, okay? When you're putting the money in the fast food bag, that's somebody else's job. It shouldn't be the head coach's job. But, yeah, I mean, dozens of violations, money just flying out left and right. And then the cash, the excuse that he had, you know, he lives a cash lifestyle or whatever. It's like, yeah, I don't think so, Jeremy. It was incredible.
I mean, and because of the world we live in, it's just not that big a deal. I mean, that would, can you imagine this story 20 years ago?
Oh, boy. Would have been massive. Yeah. Yeah.
What kind of sanctions do you think they would have gotten in the real world of the NCAA?
In the real world, they would have gotten at least a 2-year postseason ban, maybe more. You know, I think that the fact that they took 2 years worth of postseason revenue, roughly $8 million, indicates that they would have given them a 2-year ban, yeah, probably. And that's now. If it was 10, 15, 20 years ago, they might, maybe a 3-year ban.
What would you have to do to get a bowl ban now? Would you just literally have to, take the president of the NCAA hostage? And then
I mean, I don't want to know what it would take to get a bowl ban, right? Because it would be really bad.
That's funny. Oh, it's really not funny. But let's get to the real world. I've been meaning to ask you that, and I haven't seen you since last Friday, sure, obviously. Pat Forty here. You, like all of us, watched Nick Saban this morning. It's always, I mean, you can't take your eyes off of him.
Right.
But what did you learn?
Well, I learned there's this good vacation spot called Italy. Who knew? I mean, hidden gem out there. Not many people knew that Italy was a good vacation spot.
Well, I thought that was appropriate. I mean, you got a lot of media people here, most of us barely hanging on to our jobs.
It's a tough world.
And Saban not only talked about how great it was, he recommended it for all of us to go.
Very thoughtful. I mean, if he's paying.
Well, he loaned us his private plane.
Yeah, right. Right. Yeah.
I mean, it was right. And carrot cake.
Yeah, and carrot cake. Yeah, favorite cake.
But beyond all that, let's. Where are we with Nick Saban?
You know, I think this is a crucial period for him. I mean, his legacy is unassailable. He's the greatest coach in the history of college football, in my opinion. But is the window closing? And I think it is on him, and he's not the big dog here anymore. Kirby Smart is. He may not be the big dog in his division. Maybe LSU. I think I would vote LSU over Alabama this year in that division. So, I look at this team, and I don't think it's a great team by Alabama standards. Maybe in a couple of years, like the freshmen they're bringing in are phenomenal on paper. If they materialize and they stay there, maybe in a couple of years they make another run at a title. But right now, I don't see Alabama as a national title contender.
Others have said, yes, but Nick Saban is still the head coach. I know you've already answered that, but we are used to saying that.
Yeah. Well, no, we are. We absolutely are, and with good reason. You know,
I used to say that every year with John Calipari in basketball.
Another potentially outdated statement. Look, you don't just discard Nick Saban, right? But I don't think he was on his best coaching last year. You know, I think obviously the Tennessee game management of that at the end said that they beat themselves against LSU. They were really sloppy against Texas and Texas A&M, but pulled those out. And now you're losing two of the top three players in the NFL draft. And so I think this year, Nick Saban's going to have to coach better than he did last year.
And he's got two brand new coordinators. One that comes from Notre Dame that he really likes.
Yep.
We heard that all day long. I mean, he told me I love Tommy. I've never heard Saban say that about an assistant coach, especially one as unqualified in great success. I mean, he's got success, but nothing like Sarkisian or Lane Kiffin, people like that, or Bill O'Brien.
Absolutely. No, he has a short resume, but people I know at Notre Dame were very high on him. I mean, it was close who was going to get that job between him and Marcus Freeman. And, I think he's probably got some fire that I could see Saban liking. Yeah. You know, I mean, he's a pretty intense guy. He's really smart. I think he will have an attack that probably Alabama fans should be happy probably with both new coordinators compared to how they were with the last two.
But and Kevin Steele I do think it's interesting because Kevin Steele is at a point where he's not afraid of Nick Saban. I think the last guy was.
Yeah.
Because it's worth remembering Kevin Steele was replaced by Kirby Smart.
Yeah. Correct.
He's yeah. back. Yeah. Yeah. That's how you beat Kirby Smart.
That's how you beat him. Exactly. Yeah. No, so, yes. Yeah, look, Steele has been through the wars. He's been around. Yeah. He's been everywhere. And I would imagine it's not going to be hard for he and Saban to be on the same page. But also, as you said, maybe to have a little bit of push back to Saban on some things that he would like to do differently.
Yeah. I mean, I really do believe that Reese is exciting, but Steele is safe.
Yes.
Comfortable.
Yeah.
We saw Jimbo Fisher drop by Monday.
We did.
I'm not going to ask you about what he said because that would take a while. But put into perspective his situation.
Oh, it's fascinating. You brought up John Calipari. It's the same situation. It's two guys that are making an absolute ton of money with a couple of fan bases that would like to make a change, but it would cost too much to make a change. So, you know, everybody is dying to see how the Jimbo-Petrino dynamic works, you know.
And I ask you this because you covered Bob Petrino in Louisville. He had great success. And, I mean, he's got this terrible reputation because of the scandal, because of how he's left programs. But you were around him more than most of us. Who is he?
He's a good ball coach. I will say that. Like this should be a role that he excels in, is just scheming and play calling. If he's calling the plays, as opposed to Jimbo.
We think he is.
We think he is. He should be good in this role. He's not a good people person. No. He's not nice to people. He was, you know, he left angry people in every place he's ever been.
He's consistent.
Yeah, he is consistent. He's absolutely consistent that way. But you put him in there, and I think Bobby, you know, ultimately he wants to get back to a Power 5 head coaching job, and he saw Missouri State was not going to get him there. But you do a great job at a big-time SEC school, and he thinks he might get another chance.
You wrote about Kirby Smart earlier in the week, and you know, it's been fascinating to watch how his program has fought back, how he's tried to deal with it. And today, news came out, which is really quite revealing and shocking in some ways. For those who have not heard this, that the Atlanta Journal-Constitution did retract the story that the university asked for. When that retraction letter went out, most of us who have been around probably too long said, they'll never get the retraction. Not only did they get the retraction, they fired the reporter.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to ask you to comment on what is inside, but the Georgia fans are going to take that as a huge win.
They are, absolutely. And you know what? It's a loss for everybody in the media, frankly, for that bad an error to occur. And I'll be frank, I worked with Alan Judd in Louisville 35 years ago, and he was involved. He did not leave there in good circumstances. And I didn't remember all of the details of that, and I actually called a couple of people. I was driving from Louisville to Nashville here for this, and they were like, yeah, it was bad. It was bad there. And so, you know, look, Georgia, I think, still has a major issue with street racing, reckless driving, danger in that area that I don't think Kirby has adequately addressed, because it keeps going on after the death of two people. But in this instance, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution just handed Georgia a club and said, beat us over the head with it.
Yeah, and I'm not a media critic, but the credibility of that outlet has been shattered by this story, and you don't get it back.
No.
I don't know anything about the rest of the organization, and it's sad to me, Pat, because I mean, you worked at a great daily in the day. That was as a young reporter, I mean, I could barely afford it, but I got up every Sunday morning and went down to a newsstand to buy that, because, I mean, nobody covered the SEC on a Sunday like they did.
Absolutely. No, I mean, that's what it was every Sunday you wanted that newspaper, no doubt about it. And, it's not a good time in media circles right now. And again, something like this does not help any of us. It hurts all of our credibility.
Yeah, and I have to, you know, a bit of a mea culpa with some of the Georgia folks, because, I mean, you guys like us, we want to defend the news outlet when they start getting attacked. The fans were right this time.
They were, absolutely. In the issue of that one story, they were. Now, not conflate it with the driving stuff, which Georgia doesn't have a good explanation for. But in that instance, Georgia fans who and the University of Georgia pushing back on that story were correct.
Yeah, and I kept asking people all week. I've never seen anything like it. There was an explanation for it. Pat, thank you. This just fascinating stuff. Always enjoy seeing you.
Thank you, Paul.
Pat Forte from SI. We will take a break. We're back. Much more to come.
The Paul Feinbaum Show, weekdays at 3 Eastern on the ESPN app and on the SEC Network.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Still have another hour to go from Music City. Of course, all day tomorrow as well, including a conversation with Josh Heupel. Let's take a few phone calls. I don't think we've had a chance to do this for a couple of hours. So let's start with John in Louisville. Hey, John.
Hey, Paul. How you doing? Hey,
doing
Paul.
Well, thank
how you doing?
We're doing fantastic.
Good to have
thank
you back in the saddle.
Thank you very much.
Hey, Paul, two quick takeaways, and then I'll talk about Pat Forte. Two takeaways from this week is I think Derek Mason would make a great full-time analyst. And it's good to see Nick go back to his natural hair color and give up that crimson red, don't you think?
I think he when he was in Milan, he had some people help him with that.
Well, I agree. Italy's a great place to go. Pat Forte, I don't know if it was a Freudian slip, but did he say that Petrino was a good ball coach and good at scheming? Is that what I heard from him?
That's exactly what he said.
And I'm happy for Georgia winning on that AGC matter, but I was equally disappointed with the coach talking about the problems, saying that they're only 18 and 19 year olds, and the number of incidents hasn't changed over the years. I think he was kind of just wiping over it and ignoring the real problems.
I'm not exactly sure what the best route was for Kirby Smart. I think there's a lot of emotion involved, as you can imagine.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And I think you also had a lot of legal eagles who seized on the AJC, primarily, I think, John, because of the sexual assault allegations that the reporter clearly misinterpreted from the police report. I think sometimes when you, I've been at the other end of that, and sometimes it gets so emotional and so heated that you do lose sight a little bit. And I think it's a story that Kirby Smart yesterday acknowledged is finally going to dissipate, at least in terms of the constant questions. And it's never over when you have the type of tragedy that they experience and endure and have to endure, but the questions to him, I think, are over.
Well, I think something that was overlooked this week is the other staff member that survived the crash has filed suit claiming that the university knew about the driving record, that they were allowed to keep the car overnight, and then added Jalen Carter to the mix. I guess they followed the money, so to speak. But I think that's pretty ugly in itself as well. But
it is,
and I think the interviews.
You knew something was up, but it just felt like to me, John, to be a media critic here for a second, that everybody kept dodging it, and it's pretty obvious why. Most people there suspected there was something
amiss with this reporter. But you know what? I don't care. We're talking about a serious subject, and you have to cover the media the same way you cover the program. And I think some people in the media did not want to do that.
True. Hey, quick comment. You had talked about Georgia, Ohio State, Alabama, maybe USC getting into the CFP. I have a different type question on that. Who's going to win the Big Ten, knowing that Ohio State has to go into the Big House and knowing that Ohio State has to replace several really excellent tackles and a center, not to mention a quarterback? What do you think is going to happen in the big game?
I mean, Michigan is going to be the pick, and I'm picking Ohio State because I think Michigan's much better when they don't have the heat on them. And I'm not going back Harbaugh heel here, but
no, I don't think so.
I really I'm going to be a believer in Ohio State this year, and I think they are a serious threat to Georgia. I don't think Michigan is. I mean, Michigan has a really good team, but I see them slipping up.
Yeah, I agree with you. Good show, Paul.
Thank you very, very much. Let's see. Do we have time?
15 seconds.
No, we don't. I'm glad I asked that question. Asked and answered, as we say in court. We're back. One more hour to go. A lot of great guests. Please, stick around.
Oh.
The Paul Feinbaum Show, weekdays at 3 Eastern on the ESPN app and on the SEC Network.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.